You are tuned in to a post-mortem episode of the 13 Club podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Kim.
And I'm here with my co-host, Miranda.
And we are bringing it to you with a short and sweet little spooky treat for the middle of your week. And by the middle of your week, we mean Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, you can pretend it's almost over. That's fine.
Maybe it's Wednesday when you're listening to this. I don't know.
Could be.
What have you got for us this week, Kim?
Last week I covered McCamey Manor, and if you didn't listen to that one, you probably should. It's like one of the only ones that I would really say that for. And I was just kind of searching around for Russ McCamey stuff, and just to summarize, Russ McCamey has a extreme haunted house where he literally tortures people in the sake of, like, Halloween spookiness. And he's hurt a lot of people over the years, and I was just digging around. And the updates that I have about it are that currently, which makes sense with COVID and all, the manor is closed. Mm-hmm. He did tweet, like, in July, something about, like, how he was going to start it back up. Sorry, we might have spooky background noise because there's a huge thunderstorm right now.
Girl.
So he seems like he plans to start it back up. And then I was looking around. There's a YouTuber that I watch a lot of her stuff. Her name's Loey Lane. And she interviewed an ex-employee, and they were also his social media manager for the time. And she basically described him as being extremely manipulative and getting, like, a deep sense of pleasure from when people were in pain. And that's, like, basically her summary of him.
I mean, sorry, not to interrupt you, but, like, mentioned a documentary in the episode that we did last where you discussed it, and, like, even as an...
The Dark Tourist?
I watched the Haunters one.
Okay.
But, like, even as an outside observer just watching that Haunters documentary, it was, like, abundantly clear that this guy kind of got off on the, like, absolute, like, torture and humiliation he was putting people through. So I'm not at all surprised to hear this.
Yeah. So then his ex-partner, Holly Shalito, she said that he was... There's an interview with her that's floating around, and it keeps getting deleted, but basically, it's kind of creepy to listen to, but it's like an interview with another person, or a conversation with another person, but the other voice is protected, and it's kind of, like, done automatically with a computer, it seems like, and so sometimes, like, her voice drops into, like, this creepy, spooky voice as thunder cracks in the background, but it's... Basically, in the interview, she said some key things, which is that he was a very abusive partner, and that he's a very dangerous man, that he basically would see himself hurting her. At one point, he said that he saw himself shooting her. And then the grossest, like, realization from this is that she said that he detailed his sexual fantasies with children to her.
No. Turn it off.
Yeah. End it
now. Stop.
Now, he's a father of several children. There's a channel that's called Surviving Life on YouTube, and I did mention them last time, and they did some interviews with his daughter. His daughter's name is Lindsay, and then he's got Holly, who is his ex, and then we have Carol, who is Lindsay's mother and also an ex, but the ex before Holly. We have interviews from three of these women. And in the interviews, they all say different things. So Holly is like, he's a crazy abusive pedophile. And then Carol is like, he was extremely abusive and ruined my life for 15 years. And then she also said things like, he would refuse to change our daughter's diaper because he thought he would hurt her. So while she didn't directly call him a pedophile, like, that sounds really fucking shady.
It's it doesn't necessarily have to sound awful, but when you mm-hmm. put it in context, it does.
Yeah. Then Holly also says that he took, like, she found photos at one point that were, like, oddly salacious photos of his son, where his son was fully clothed, but he was posed in very inappropriate positions, and he just, like, had these pictures. And then in one of the little, like, videos that somebody did on him, there's a quick little clip of his three of his kids, And they ask him, like, what do you think your dad is doing? Like, why do you think he does this? And the kids literally say, because he likes torturing people and he likes to be tortured. And, like, these are young kids. And they, like, honestly shouldn't know anything about this.
I got the heebs.
Yeah, that's gross. One big, like, controversy that I found is that in the waiver, because I did find screenshots of all of the waiver pages, and that is one of the links I have for you guys if you want to look at it, the 40-page waiver. Mm. And one of them is, it says that you're agreeing to be subjected to MK Ultra-like mind control. Which, if you don't know what MK Ultra was, it was literally a, like, program that the U.S. government did using psychedelic drugs to try to control people.
We should do an episode on that sometime.
Yeah, I thought about it when I heard this. I was like, oh yeah, MK Ultra, that was nuts. So basically, what that sounds like to me is that you may be subjected to being, like, you know, injected with LSD. And I kind of feel like that's probably not true. Like, he's probably never done that to someone. I don't know for sure, but it just kind of seems like he wanted to seem even scarier and use, like, a buzzword, like MKUltra.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody online, and I don't have anything to back this up, but they said that Russ has military torture experience.
So, like, with regards to both of those two things, like, A, I definitely agree with you that, like, using, like, invoking MK Ultra definitely sounds like trying to sound scarier and more intimidating than you really are, especially given that, like, after listening to what you, like, wrote about in the last episode, like, a lot of people find it, like, highly questionable whether he actually does some of the more extreme things that he claims you could maybe be objected to mm-hmm. by participating in McKamey Manor. Like, you know, maybe probably never gonna happen. MK Ultra kind of reminds me of that. But also, like, part of the reason MK Ultra worked was, like, not only because people were being exposed to, like, psychotropic drugs, but also there were, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but were there not, like, psychologists and stuff there, like, people whose job it is to, like, implant certain kinds of, like, people who understand how the brain works and can implant hypnosis. Suggestions into your mind. Like, mm-hmm. you can't conduct MK Ultra, like, experiments without that element. So, like, that says right. to me, like, he doesn't even really understand how MK Ultra
that's where the allegations come in, that he has experience in the military doing this in the past. But like I said, there's no source for that. Just somebody said that on the internet, so really, we don't know.
Right. I guess, like, the military stuff kind of, in a way, like, lines up with the, like, whole, there was someone who said they claimed to have been waterboarded, which is something that our own military government is, like, infamous for doing, especially in the last 20 years, when that's, like, you know.
There are several videos of him waterboarding people.
Yeah, and that's, like, a big no-no, and we all know it. So, like, mm-hmm. when I hear military torture, and I think about him, like, being really open about his willingness to do that, I'm kind of like, alright, A plus B equals C, but, mm-hmm. like, you know, but like you said, there's no way to substantiate exactly what that means, or if it's even real.
Also, I think this is something that people are just, like, because another one that people are saying, it's just, like, salacious gossip, right? So, people are also saying things like, that the way that McKamey gets money is that he runs a red room, and that all of his, like, torture stuff he films and he's selling on the dark web.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like, all of those, the red room, dark web, MK Ultra, all of those are buzzwords that cause people to...
Yeah, for people who know what those things are, it's a really, like, it elicits a very specific kind of response.
Right, exactly. There are a lot of videos online of people telling their story about how they were abused and how they were treated in the manor. There are a lot of really unhappy people out there who have gone through the manor and have been treated like absolute garbage, and they are, like, open to talking about it. So I really, like, can't go into everybody's story, but there are a lot of people coming out against him, or that have been coming out against him. And then one of the ones I saw just, like, in passing, which, because a lot of people are just like, it says he has a safe word, why aren't people just using the safe word? There's an example of, according to someone online, which they were, like, just a source, it was just a screenshot of a comment. It just said that he told them that the safe word was the N-word. And that if they used it, he would film them saying it and post it out of context on the internet.
What the fuck?
Yeah. But like I said, there's no source for this. It's just some random person. But I could see it.
Right. But like, that's so, like, when you think about, like, and this is in the most jokey, broadest media representation of activities that would require you to use a safe word. Like, if you watch a sitcom and somebody jokes about, like, using a safe word for any reason, it's always, like, banana or something, like, really goofy. That's the beauty of a safe word, is that it's supposed to be, like, something that you would never normally say, so that it stands out in a specific situation. But that's a level of not just the threat that, like, I'm gonna tape you saying this and I'm gonna use it to blackmail you, but the fact that your brain would even go there in the first place, and that you would suggest to people that that is a word that they should ever be using to associate with a feeling of safety or relief from a torturous situation. Like, what?
Well, there are just lots of cases of him, basically, he openly says that if there is something out there he can use against you, he will do it. Because that's part of the torture, because it's the psychological element.
Mm-hmm.
We're just hoping at this point that Russ doesn't have the ability to open back up. And my big question still is, where does the money come from? I don't think it's a dark web red room situation, but I do wonder where the money is coming from. And a tinfoil theory I have is that, I don't know, perhaps he has some kind of backer.
Yeah. Maybe it's not, it could be like, I mean, that could be like even similar in that, like, perhaps he's not taking these videos and sourcing them out to just the dark web in general, but perhaps he does have like a benefactor who provides him the means to continue to make these videos or content that he like exclusively gives to this one person.
Yeah, it could be
For whatever their reasons are.
No sources, all speculation, but the bottom line is that there are a lot of people who really, really
do not dislike like
Russ McKamey, and it sounds like it's a pretty justified hatred of the man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this episode is all hot goss, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it bears repeating, like, to a certain degree, I guess, there's where there's smoke, there's fire adage. You've got several ex-wives and people who've participated in your haunted attraction and your daughter and sources online, and so many people are all coming together to say, like, this guy might not be on the level. There might be something wrong here.
Also, bringing up the daughter one more time is that she says she hasn't spoken to him in 10 years, and that's, like, unrelated to the manor.
So that could be anything, really.
Right. She and her brother have not spoken to him in 10 years.
Wow.
He has a lot of kids, it seems like. I don't know how many he has, but
I am curious. I had this thought earlier today, actually, when I was preparing for us to record, and I was thinking about what we would be talking about. I had this thought that, like, specifically I was thinking about how he's known to retaliate to people that critique him. Like, in our last episode, and again, as Kim said, and if you've gotten this far into our discussion and not realized, I should probably go back and listen to our last episode. I can only state again, like, you should definitely give it a listen. But there's an interview that's done, and it doesn't paint him in a very positive light, and he kind of gets in the comments section of the news that published it and tries to, like, defend himself, but then, like, proceeds to, like, call out the writer in a way that, like, I personally would have interpreted as, like, a very extremely thinly veiled threat, personally.
Oh, yeah, when he was like, just come, if you want to know the truth, just come here. Come and do the tour yourself.
So I was thinking about that, and I was wondering, like, is this a situation of the more we talk about it, the more that we're, like, feeding into something that he wants? Obviously, yeah. Like, I truly believe that there is a level of, like, satisfaction that he gets from the, like, torture aspect of it, the, like, putting people through pain, seeing people in distress, having this, like, position of power where he manipulates the situation completely. It's all in his control. I think that he gets off to that on a certain level. The more that I think about it, there perhaps is a level of, the more we give it attention, the more we're, like, building into this little mythos he's created.
Right, and that he may get off on being this, like, monstrous villain of a person.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, and I'm almost, like, it's the kind of thing that makes me want to not talk about it at all, because are we giving it more power by acknowledging
right.
kind of a thing?
Right. After I finished doing this research, I was like, I told my husband, I was like, all right, that's enough about Ross McCamey. I'm done with it. And I was like, I feel like I hate researched him so much. I feel like so annoyed and like uncomfortable with all of it that I was like, next time I need to pick a topic that like I enjoy because I'm so like done with this asshole.
Right. And you know, there's kind of like a certain level of satisfaction in hate researching something. Sometimes it's fun. Mm-hmm. But then like when you're done with it, you kind of have to take a step back and like go get some fresh air.
Yeah, okay. We're done with this guy.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, my big hope is that after, like, I hope his business was, like, I know it's not a business because he doesn't actually make money, so he says, off of the tours. But I really hope that he's not able to open up post-COVID and that maybe, like, one of the only good things the pandemic has done is shut down his torture chamber.
Yeah. This is so weird, but this is one of those things where this is gonna sound so messed up, so, like, please bear with me and, like, hope you understand what I say. I await his, as we all will one day do, I await his inevitable departure from this mortal coil when somebody goes through his personal effects, be it his wife at the time or his children, somebody goes through his shit and they're parsing out who gets what needs to be thrown away and whatever, and finds whatever it is that motivates this whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, I, whatever thing makes him tick, whoever is financing him, whatever stores of weird stuff he does or does not have on his computer, just, like, whatever the thing is, I want to know it.
The mystery. I want to solve this mystery.
I want the closure of why is Russ McCamey.
This is another, like, just inflated gossip situation, but, in one of the interviews, and you have to, like, forgive me for not doing my full interview research, because these interviews on the Surviving Life channel are literally, like, 4 hours long, and a lot of it is the interviewer just talking over the interviewee. Ugh. So, I couldn't sit through, like, you know, 8 hours of this, because it's honestly, like, not worth giving him this much attention. But the speculation was that he was also abused when he was a child.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. It would make sense.
He wouldn't be the first person who was abused as a child that went on to perpetuate that abuse in a new way as an adult.
Right.
Sadly, it happens. Well, thank you for those updates. That's all. That's, like, stuff to, like, chew on.
You're welcome, and also I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry for bringing all this to your attention.
Yeah.
For my postmortem, so, like, in our last episode, I was talking about the Weston State Hospital, which was also known as the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, and, like, honestly, this is, like, an aside, but, like, I feel like I need to apologize for how I, like, presented that entire episode, because I felt like, I listened back to that episode, and I felt like I was talking really fast throughout, because I was like, oh my god, I wrote way too much, this article is too long. I need to, like, hurry through it and, like, keep up a good pace. But then I listened to myself again and I was like, you are talking too fast, girl.
I've done it. There's been big topics that I've listened back and I'm just like, damn, take a breath.
So, apologies for that. But I was talking about Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. And one thing I said I wanted to do in the episode was try and, like, reach out to people for stories about mm-hmm. the asylum. And I specifically was like, well, you know, maybe I'll go to Reddit or something. And my first thought was to go to, like, r/ghosts.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a, like, a peculiar sub in and of itself, because it's often people who go there with, like, photos of ghosts or stories about unexplained things that happened to them. And the comments are, like, a 50-50 split of people that are like, this is absolutely fake. Like, fuck you. Get that shit out of here. Or people who, like, are just like, oh my god, like, they, like, buy into it to, like, a stupid degree, of, like, yeah. I believe this immediately. So, like, r/ghost is kind of a weird place. But I was like, well, maybe I'll go to that, because it's a really big sub, and this is a really well-known location, so, like, the odds are good. Somebody's been there that frequents this sub. But I ended up not doing that, because I was, as I was looking to post in the rules for the sub, they have a rule, I don't know if it's always been there or if it's new, but it is, there's specifically a rule that's like, do not use this sub to trawl for content for your project. Don't use this sub for your YouTube channels. Don't use it for your, like, generic random, like, Twitter account that just reposts spooky shit. Please do not put us on your podcast. That's not what this sub is for. So I was like, okay, well, I don't want to piss off an entire subreddit. So I instead decided to, I mean, like, I could have messaged the mods maybe and been like, hey, would this be allowed? But, like, I just was like, I'll just go somewhere else. So I went to r/West Virginia instead. And unfortunately, that subreddit isn't maybe, like, not quite as active as something like r/ghosts. So I didn't get, like, as many responses as I wanted. But I did get a few. And I'm really, like, if you are coming to this episode from r/West Virginia, I really appreciate you taking the time to be here, and thank you for giving me a little reply, and I appreciate it. One response I got, I'm not totally sure how to pronounce their username, but it's u/thecobetard26, or cobetard26, said, I personally don't believe in the paranormal at all. I grew up near there and have been inside multiple times without experiencing anything. Though, my mother has told me that on several occasions, she's seen figures in the windows that disappeared when she did a double take. Another user, u/daytimesleeping, said, I've spent the night there twice. Nothing too big ever happened, except for one group claiming they saw a demon crawling on the ceiling, but I'm pretty sure that was all for show. One event did leave me with an eerie feeling, though. I was sitting on the floor of the doctor's quarters, or whatever it's called officially, and I heard what sounded like someone wearing dress shoes walking down the hall. Once they stopped, the room began to smell very strongly of cigar smoke, and the air felt suddenly really heavy and depressing. We looked all around the area, and we were the only ones in that ward. It's nothing super spooky, but it definitely still gives me chills to think about. Which, that to me sounds legit.
That's it's not too over the top.
Yeah, I believe this person. I'm not sure about the demon on the ceiling, but...
Yeah, that's a little bit on the nose.
Finally, I had a comment from u/itswedmydudes. It's Wednesday, my dudes. My favorite Vine. They asked, did y'all cover the rainbow murders in Pocahontas County? I am going to go on the record right now and say that I intend to do that for an episode coming up, I hope, soon. I started to do some kind of, like, light research because I was like, oh, okay, maybe I'll make that, like, the postmortem. Like, that, I'll make that the follow-up. But I realized that there was a book that came out in January of this year, so January 2020, about the Pocahontas murders, like a true crime novel about it. I have ordered a copy of that, and when it gets here, I am going to read it, and I am going to do that topic eventually. So thank you for the idea for a future topic, u/itswedmydudes.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm really looking forward to it. What little bit, like, as a teaser, what I did get into... is that this is a, I guess, double homicide that took place in, like, the 80s in a very, like, small town in West Virginia, kind of tied to a, like, for lack of a better term, like, a hippie festival kind of event. And it seems like it's just small enough of a community that it caused a lot of internal tension. There were some really, like, strange suspects involved. There's a lot going on there, and I look forward to talking about it to you guys. I'm not going to talk to it.
I mean, you could a little.
A little, just a little bit. But so you guys can look forward. Don't look it up. Just wait for me to do it.
I'm not going to.
Them either. I don't want anybody. Nobody look it up. Yeah. It's my job to look it up, and then you can talk about it as a group, as a family. We're all going to sit down and talk about it.
We're going to experience this together, okay?
So don't like... get spoiled and go Wikipediaing it for yourself. So because with all that kind of with like my, you know, people's follow-up comments and stuff out of the way, I wanted to real quick, just so I have something a little bit new, something a little of substance to share with you guys. I was going to read a very short and sweet creepypasta to you guys instead. And it's funny. This is kind of, I mean, I don't know. I never know how to rate how old a creepypasta is on the internet, but I want to say this is an older one. I, like, first heard this creepypasta at, I think it was, like, KatsuCon of 2012 or 2013. KatsuCon being a, like, anime convention that happens in Oxon Hill, Maryland. Or technically National Harbor. I went to a, like, late night panel that was about creepypasta. So,
Okay.
I wish there
that
was...
That sounds fun.
I wish there was more stuff like that happening at cons these days. But, so, this is somebody, basically at the panel, they read and, like, talked about a few creepypastas and, like, stuff like that. And then, like, towards the end, they invited people to come up and, like, share their own favorites. And somebody, like, came up and read this one. You've probably heard it before. It's called White with Red. You familiar with
it? It sounds familiar, but it will have been a while.
It's pretty, like, it's pretty quick. So, a man went to a hotel and walked up to the front desk to check in. The woman at the desk gave him his key and told him that on the way to his room, there was a door with no number that was locked and no one was allowed in there. She explained that it was a storeroom and that it was out of bounds. She reminded him of this several times before allowing him upstairs, so he followed the instructions of the woman at the front desk, going straight to his room and going to bed. However, the insistence of the woman had piqued his curiosity, so the next night he walked down the hall to the door and tried the handle. Sure enough, it was locked. He bent down and looked through the wide keyhole. Cold air passed through it, chilling his eye. What he saw was a hotel bedroom like his, and in the corner was a woman whose skin was incredibly pale. She was leaning her head against the wall, facing away from the door. He stared in confusion for a while. Was this a celebrity? The owner's daughter? He almost knocked on the door out of curiosity, but decided not to. As he was still looking, the woman turned sharply, and he jumped back from the door, hoping she would not suspect that he had been spying on her. He crept away from the door and walked back to his room. The next day, he returned to the door and looked through the wide keyhole. This time, all he saw was redness. He couldn't make anything out besides a distinct red color, unmoving. Perhaps the inhabitants of the room knew he was spying the night before and had blocked the keyhole with something red. He felt embarrassed that he had made the woman so uncomfortable and hoped she had not made a complaint with the woman at the front desk. At this point, he decided to consult her for more information. She sighed and said, "Did you look through the keyhole?" The man told her that he had, and she said, "Well, I might as well tell you the story of what happened in that room. A long time ago, a man murdered his wife in there, and we find that even now, whoever stays there gets very uncomfortable. But these people were not ordinary. They were white all over, except for their eyes, which were red." The end. Personally, the story kind of fizzles for me at the end there, because I think they don't go... I think saying these were no ordinary people. These were white people with eyes that were red. I think you, like... You should have just said, like, they were albino or something. I don't know. Yeah. Like, it's very, like, very weirdly rushed. They tried to wrap the entire story up with one sentence. However, apparently this is a very popular creepypasta, because everywhere I looked at it, it's, like, rated eight stars or above. So, people really like this story. I think it's a good setup.
It reminds me of, like, Silent Hill 4, The Room, when you can kind of look in on Eileen.
Yeah.
And you see, like, the Robbie activity in there.
The Robbie activity. Yeah, I think it's a good setup. I think, like, it's interesting. I think it's just got, like, a really weak ending. But it's a...
Yeah, I agree.
It's kind of a classic, like, short little creepypasta that I feel like probably our listeners may have heard of before. So I just wanted to share it with you guys on the show. Give you guys a reading.
Quick little spook for you.
Yes.
I watched episode 1 of Lovecraft Country, and boy, I can recommend it 100%.
Yeah?
That show is so captivating. It is so beautiful. It is so, like, every scene is so, like, artistically, like, all that wardrobe, all the makeup, all of the cinematography for it is just incredible. It is top-notch, and it is... Lovecraftian horror that is aware of the inherent racism of H.P. Lovecraft. It's really, really, really good.
That's good. I've heard nothing but good things about it. Actually, I take that back. I think I saw one person who had some bummer things to say about it, but it was mostly, like, pretty gripes.
The only, like, slight gripe I could say is that some of the CG is, like, not the greatest CG I've ever seen, but I would say it's better than a DC movie, so...
Yeah. I think they were, like, complaining that, like, if you look past, kind of the main characters, I think they were complaining about, like, anything that they think you shouldn't be spending any time looking at, they didn't spend a lot of time on it. Like, it almost sounded to me like, when people complain about, like, the background characters in a video game not being, like, rendered with absolute detail the way that you would, like, a main character, kind of.
Yeah.
Do you know what okay. I mean? Like, they're just griping about, yeah. like, well, you're not, that's because you're not, they're, like, fucking background extras, like.
Right.
You know, you're not supposed to be thinking them as hard as you are the main characters, but.
I personally didn't notice that, and I've really liked it so far, so I look forward to seeing the next episode, see how it continues on.
I will eventually watch that show. I'm very, like, into the idea. It's, Lovecraft is one of those writers that, like, I really enjoyed a lot when I was younger, then, like, as an older person, becoming more aware of, like, racism in, problematic aspects of things that I liked. That was a tough one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's always, yeah. It's hard to acknowledge when something you care comes from someone who sucks.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to
the reclamation of it, kind of?
Yeah.
The reclamation of weird horror? Yeah, I like it.
I guess the only thing, while we're in that spirit, and there's really not much to say about it, but, like, literally a few hours before we recorded this, they, like, dropped a bunch of info about the new season of Haunting of Hill House. Which is
yes.
going to be the Haunting of Bly Manor, which I
mm-hmm.
am extremely, extremely, extremely excited for.
It says it's coming out fall, and I'm just like, how soon can I expect this? Is this a September ordeal? Is this an October ordeal? I feel like it might be an October
ordeal. I bet it's going to be October, because I think when the first season came out a couple years ago, I think it dropped in mid-October, maybe. But we'll see.
We're both huge fans of the first season.
Extremely
so.
Huge fans.
So the last thing I have to say is, y'all like books?
Yeah.
You I know like books.
I like books.
If you want to listen to an audiobook, you know, any audiobook that you've been kind of like, hey, I want to read this book, but I just don't have time.
Perhaps The Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson?
Yeah.
Or perhaps
that's a good one.
Lovecraft Country?
Yes.
Based on a novel?
Yep. You can listen to a book of your choice free. If you use our code on audibletrial.com/13club and you get 30 days of membership, one book of your choice, and then two Audible originals. And if you are just, you know, done with it after that, you're done with it after that. But Audible is actually a really rad service.
Yeah, even if you decide not to continue your Audible, like, subscription, if you choose to cancel after 30 days, that audiobook is still yours. You still
right,
own
you
that
just keep
book.
It. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks, guys. And we will talk to you next week.
Have a spooky week.
Have a good one, guys.
Bye.